I'm going to stand just like this. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul find favor in your sight, Lord God, Heavenly King. I am, in a word, at the beginning of my ministry. 6 years ago, I answered the call as a vocational deacon. This May will be 2 years since my ordination. I am still embracing all of these first-time wonderful moments, just like that first time of the podium getting ready to fall, of service and purpose and forging ahead in all good things. This is my first Good Shepherd sermon. So as every sermon you do, it's always something special. This one no less. My parents were married in April 17th, 1953, at Trinity Episcopal Church in the Morrisonian section of the South Bronx. For my entire life, anytime my mother spoke of her wedding day, she would talk about all the joy, all the love, all the excitement, how the altar guild kept the Easter lilies up because it was the week after Easter. She spoke about how she was the happiest bride ever, how gorgeous my father was. And she always mentioned Father Roberts, the officiant of her wedding. She would talk about remembering how when he turned around and walked up to the altar, how his chasuble was adorned with the Lamb of God. Seeing that Lamb of God on his chasuble, she felt that her marriage would be protected, guided, and loved, and so it was. You see, Father Roberts was a shepherd. He was a visionary. He was a beacon of light at a challenging time. Through the dark streets of poverty, through food insecurities, through difficulties, he led the people as a shepherd to places of green pastures and still waters. Born in Jamaica, West Indies, he was called to ministry as a young man. He would eventually migrate to America and settle in the Bronx. He found his way to Trinity Episcopal Church. He married the love of his life, had children, raised them and loved them, but he also loved his people. From 1951 to 1999, he shepherded his people. In his memory and legacy, there is still sanctuary for immigrants and asylum seekers today. As a shepherd, none of them shall be in want, then or now. A few years later, when I was to be baptized, where I would first be blessed and blessed as a disciple of God, my mother asked Father Roberts, would he wear those robes adorned with the Lamb of God? And of course he did. I felt protected, my mother said. She knew I would be. Jump a couple of decades or so, at our home church in Brooklyn, St. George's Anglican Episcopal Church, we had a rector, Father Cecil David Williams. When it was time for him to celebrate his 25th anniversary in honor of Father Roberts, my mother gifted him with a robe similar to that of Father Roberts, adorned with the Lamb of God. During that time, the world was hit with a pandemic of HIV/AIDS, resulting in the deaths of too many of God's children. My mom came to him and asked him to begin an HIV/AIDS awareness ministry to bring the word of hope to the people. There were many that stood at the gate telling Father Williams that this was not a place, that the church was not a place to speak of such things, or that people with such an illness had no place in this community. But Father Williams did not listen to those words of doubt or indifference. No, he listened for the voice that he recognized, the voice of Jesus, the call of Jesus. Father Williams took his rod and staff to comfort, to be a shepherd in the presence among the people. He just didn't pray for them. He welcomed them and their loved ones and their caregivers to God's house, to God's table. And to speak from the pulpit, to restore souls in his name, in God's word. A couple of decades later, after answering the call to become a deacon, it was then my time to eventually pick the vestments that I was to wear at ordination. I wanted on my dalmatic, in memory of Father Roberts, who I had heard so much about, and in memory of Father Williams, who was my spiritual director and dear friend, I wanted to have the Lamb of God on my dalmatic. Well, so happens, there weren't any deacon dalmatics with the Lamb of God. It was like herding sheep to get the Lamb of God on my dalmatic in time for ordination. But by the grace of God, I was able to do so and wear it. I remember praying as Bishop Hyde placed his hands on my head to anoint me, that the love of God would follow me all the days of my life and ministry from that point on. Today we meet Jesus continuing a conversation with the Pharisees, following their rejection of a man born blind that Jesus now gave sight. The Pharisees are holding their line, having a hard time breaking the iron chains of ignorance and the stone of their heart. Jesus offers them two bold statements. I love the Gospel of John because John offers Jesus some bold statements here to tear down the curtain of shame that they hold. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I am the gate," clearly again identifying him as the one who came here to serve in service and purpose. I am the one prepared to walk through the valley of shadow of death, to fear no evil, to protect those who I love. For Jesus knows your name, and we recognize his voice. John, Jesus makes it clear. He is not the one who steals or robs or thieves in the dark, speaking false statements to bring harm to the flock for selfish gain or power. "I am the good shepherd," he says, "the one who came to lead to green pastures and still waters, the one who came to be among the flock, the one who came to leave no one behind. The humble, the meek, the lost, the marginalized." Jesus makes it clear to the Pharisees of then and the Pharisees of now, there is no place that man can put a sign on any gate where they want to exclude people, turn people away, rob them of their rights to enter. Thieves cannot take over places that God created, for all of God's gates are open for the Holy Spirit to lead us beyond any gate made of iron or stone, by any gate that thieves or robbers will try to conquer then or now. I am the gate of inclusion, where all are welcomed, for those gathered at the gate are welcomed. And although those who gathered so many years ago throughout the ages look much different than who are gathered today, Jesus has taught us how to be good shepherds, walking us in the dark, through the storms, through death and back, because he knows us by name. He calls to us, and we recognize his voice. Last week, I met for the first time our gardener, Lauren. We were sitting outside on a stone wall gate in front of St. Michael's. It was a lovely day. It was 80 degrees last week and sunny, just saying. We were sharing and talking and reminiscing. Lauren was waiting for people who were going to be adopting plants because they were getting ready for the next phase of the renovation, was to start replacing the gates. As someone came up to talk about adopting some of the gates, as some of the plants, I began rubbing my hands against the stone walls, and I said, boy, if these stones could talk, what would they say? And I thought about when St. Michael's was first built back in the 1800s and all the reiterations and all of the renovations and changes over the years. And I thought about our parishes, our Episcopal churches from the 1800s and even into the early 1900s, how many of them, including St. Michael's, had a difficult history. For many of them were segregated. Our gates were not welcoming to all peoples. But in those dark times in our histories, in our dark times, Jesus was at the gate. As he was in the dark time on the cross, to the glory and the light of his resurrection, Jesus is with us, and we are with Jesus, the good shepherds. Back then, the call was heard and people recognized his voice. At one point, the wrong was named, the altar of St. Jude's was restored, and we began the road of repair, reconciliation and reparations in the renovations of not only the body of this church, but of the spirit of this congregation. I am here today. We are here today to build our community and making sure no one is left behind, because we recognize his voice as he calls us by name. We are anointed and our cups run over in the love of one who leads, in the love who one is among us, in the love of the one who will not turn away, leave any of us behind. We are the good shepherds of this time, as Jesus taught us to be. So as the waves and phases of change continue, as empires will raise and fall, wars will rage and end, and in the presence of all sorts of enemies, God prepares a table for us and there's room for everyone. Let us, in this time, be the good shepherds of today, be the visionaries, the architects, the artisans, building new pathways of unity, accessibility, to go in and fix the broken places that hinder us from moving forward. Being the good shepherds of today, to be a presence for all, to have a voice, recognizing their names, embracing all races, creeds, religion, gender preferences, and freedom in one another, to be with one another in the love of God. To be a good shepherd of today, the one who will leave no one behind, the believers, the searchers, the fearful, the unsure, the wanderers, those who have been hurt, those who hope, and those who need to be healed, and those who don't even know they are hurting. We will gather, breaking chains, rolling back stones, anything that robs or steals us from coming together as one. For Jesus commanded us to love one another and has taught us how as good shepherds. Jesus is here walking before us, with us, following behind us. Jesus is walking that line up and down, around the gates, to gather all of his beloved, and we all will dwell in his house forever. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night, and happiness I have known proves that's right, because you're mine. I walk the line. Amen.
Amen.